Welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that all life is interconnected and interdependent. And spirituality and ancient wisdom has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons. So what you do to another person, you are literally doing to another aspect of yourself. And when mankind awakens to the universal truth of oneness, there will be peace on earth. Today's show topic is self-guided afterlife connections with Craig Hogan, PhD. Craig is the president of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute. Welcome, Craig. No,
thank you, Caroline. I'm very
glad to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I did get the honor of meeting you in person, and actually we have been communicating a little over the years by email. When I first sent you my recording of my session with Suzanne Giesman, with my son Kyle, who is in spirit, I sent you that, and you got right back to me, and it was so amazing because we could hear his voice on that tape. I was like, even Suzanne, when I said, Suzanne, listen, she's like, oh my, you know, she got excited.
Yeah.
She does hundreds of readings. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And they will come through. And he came through strongly.
Yeah.
He made an effort. And if they make an effort, then they will get the help that they need from the source. And the source will make it possible for them to come through. And it's also because of love, because of your connection. You know, that really makes a big difference in being able to communicate clearly.
Yes. Now, before we jump right in, Craig, could you please share your journey, your story, how you got involved with this amazing work that you're doing?
Sure. When I was about 52 years old, it was about half a century in my life, I began to be drawn to psychics. I was meeting psychics all around for some reason. It was an odd circumstance, but they would just come into my life. And so then one day I went to one of the psychics who I had come to know. And she said, you know, you have the ability to hold things in your hand and read them. You know, it's called psychometry. And she said, go home and take a deck of cards and hold the deck of cards face down and take off one card at a time and put it on your palm and so that the face of the card is on your palm. And then if it feels like it's warm, then it's red. If it feels like it's cold, then it's black. And make some piles and then see what you find. And so I did that. I just went home and I made a couple of piles, came up with about 20 cards in each pile, and got tired of doing that. And so then I put took the pile of cards that would have been cold, would have been black, turned them over, and every one of them was black. Black that was supposed to be red or warm, then every one of them except one was red. And so I learned that I had psychic abilities. And then after that, soon after that, I was trying remote viewing. Remote viewing is where you sit and concentrate on something. It can be thousands of miles away. And while you're concentrating on it, then you'll get impressions about it. You get feelings and your sights. You can see it in your mind. You can hear sounds that are happening there at that site. And so I did that, and immediately the first time I was able to see the target. So I was able to see something which was thousands of miles away. And so I discovered that I had that ability. And once I found that out, once I found out that there is no space, and I was able to ascertain that there is no time, then I realized that the greater reality that we live in is much greater than this, what we see, than this small segment of reality that we see. And so soon after that, then I realized that if that's true, if that means that the mind is not in the brain, that the mind is outside of the brain. And if the mind is outside of the brain, then we are eternal beings. When the body dies, we don't die. We just continue. And so when I realized that was true, that when all kinds of light bulbs went on in my head, and I decided I was going to find out more about this. And as I got further and further into it, I discovered the world of the afterlife, the world of the greater reality, and discovered that there are some wonderful, wonderful things that people are just beginning to understand now. We're right in our infancy in understanding all of this. And so the more I got into it, the more I found out, and the more I wanted to find out. And so I decided to devote my life to it. So now I've devoted my life to helping people understand the afterlife, what we call the afterlife, and helping people to understand how they can communicate with their loved ones who are living there now.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And mm-hmm. and yeah, it's so true what you said, that Kyle really, when he, and I've had two readings, and he always seems to kind of come through. And when you said source, I just want to clear that up for the listeners. I'm thinking you're talking about the computer as the source. He was trying to come through the computer, because some mm-hmm. people might think source, are you talking about the one source? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the technology source that mm-hmm. he has to think through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm talking about the one source, the God, what we call God.
Oh,
so
okay.
the source of creation. And since we're one with the source of creation, we are creators.
Yes.
And so we, our energy, our creative energy is going into that instrumental transcommunication, those sounds that we're getting on devices. And so we are co-creators in producing them, as well as those who are in spirit and the source and helpers. There are a great number of helpers who are helping this to happen. So today we're able to capture those voices on the other side at will. We can just decide to sit down and record them. And then we ask questions and we get an answer, and we ask more questions and we get answers, and we're just getting better and better at this. Right now we're just finding out what we can do, and it's exciting. Every day is an exciting day.
Wow. Well, please share, because I met you at the Helping Parents Heal conference mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, but mm-hmm. not just for parents, but for anyone who has a loved one on the other side that they really want to connect with, and, mm-hmm. and they really want to know that person. Because see, I'm so full with joy because I know Kyle's not gone. Mm-hmm. I know he says, he told Suzanne, you know, that he's the co-host of this show. So he's mm-hmm. right here, right now. And I know that it's not a belief, it's a knowing. Mm-hmm. And I want others that are, you know, grieving or are saddened by the transition of a loved one to mm-hmm. know that same joy. So can you share with our listeners how they can try to make that connection with them?
Yes, they can make that connection. We know now that virtually 100% of the people who want to connect can connect. It's just a matter of finding the right way for each individual person. But what I teach is I teach people how to do it themselves, so they don't have to go to a medium and they don't have to do a recording and or one of the other methods of communicating, but they just sit down in their living room and close their eyes and have a connection, just have a dialogue with the person who's living on the next plane of life. It's very possible to do that. It's very easy to do that because of the fact that they are always willing to communicate with us. So it isn't a matter if it seems like someone has passed and they haven't been communicating for several months, you know, and you're wondering why they're not trying to get through to you. They are trying to get through to you. I mean, that's a guarantee. I can tell you that. And that when they communicate with us, they say the greatest desire that they have is to let you know that they're just fine, they're going on with their lives in the next plane of life, and they're waiting for you to come along, and they don't want you to grieve as badly as you do. Now, they are sad as well because they're not on the earth plane with you, so you miss those earth plane experiences. So it is something that does affect them. But they realize the fact that we are eternal beings, that it's only going to be a few more seconds, and that you're going to be having a reunion with them, and they're ecstatic about it, and they're looking forward to it. But we can communicate with them. They're always willing. They're always there to communicate. So all we have to do is make the connection. And in order to make the connection, what we have to do is we have to just slow down the physical realm. Right now, what's happening is we're focused on the physical realm. We have to do that to be able to learn lessons in Earth school. And so while we're in Earth school, we have to stay in character. We have to stay in the physical realm. We have to focus on what we're doing. We have to take the challenges and overcome them. And to be able to do that, we have to have a really profound, strong focus upon what we're doing. In order to communicate with them, because of the fact that they're on a different focus, what we have to do is we have to relax that focus on the physical realm and then learn how to allow the messages to come through. Okay. So the first part of it is relaxing the focus on the physical realm. We do that just by sitting down, closing our eyes, and relaxing. So you can do that on a couch at home. You can do that on a bed. You can do that anywhere. Okay. And all you have to do is sit, close your eyes, do some breathing, become aware of your breathing, go into a relaxed state, And it'd be good if you did that for 10 or 15 minutes. Just go into a relaxed state and you get into a zone. You get to feel that you're in a zone. And if you do meditation, it's meditation. Okay. If you know what self-hypnosis is, it's self-hypnosis. Okay. And what you do is you go into this state. And when you're in this state, then that's when the dialogues can occur. Now, they can occur at other times. They can occur spontaneously. You could be doing the dishes. And because your mind is preoccupied with doing the dishes and not focused on things in the physical realm, you're kind of zoning out.
Right.
Then what they will come through to you. And suddenly you'll get an insight. Suddenly you'll get a feeling like you're communicating with them. That they're telling you things. They're saying things. Sometimes it's in words, but usually it's in impressions.
Right.
Because in thoughts, when we communicate in impressions, in feelings, in even in songs. And so it's a different form of communication. So then the first part is just relaxing away from the physical realm. And you can do that intentionally, or it'll just happen during the day when we're zoning out doing something that's mindless.
Right.
The second part of it is then to receive the messages. And that's the hard part.
Yes.
And the reason it's hard is because people aren't used to having someone else in their head. They're just not used to, they think all of my thoughts are my thoughts. And so if something comes to me, something out of the blue that I'm not thinking about, then it must be me. It must be what people will say, it's my imagination.
Yes.
And it is an imagination. That is them communicating. They're communicating mind to mind so that the thoughts, when thoughts come into your head like that, they come spontaneously and they feel like the thoughts that would come into your head if you were thinking of something or concentrating on solving a problem. And they have that feeling about them because they're inside of your mind, but they're not coming from you. They're coming from that person whom you want to communicate with. And so you have to get used to accepting the mind-to-mind communications. And they're just going to be impressions, feelings, the first things that come to you. And as soon as that whatever it is that comes to you, then that's the impression, that's them communicating with you. And what I can do is I'm going to give you some concrete things to do. So if you have any questions for me now, I can answer them, but otherwise I'm going to give you some concrete things to do.
Give us some concrete things.
Okay, all right. Let's start with the first one. The first one is if you want to communicate, what you need to do is you need to get into that zone, relax. And then you can just start to have a daydream. And you can daydream about this person you want to communicate with. And daydream a conversation with them. You can imagine you're sitting at the breakfast table and they're sitting across from you and you're going to have a conversation with them. So you just start the conversation.
Right.
And you ask them, how are you doing today? The first things that come into your mind immediately, the first thing, that's the communication. And the reason it's the first thing and it's immediate is that it's coming to you as a whole package. In other words, it doesn't have to come in words. They're not going to have to say words for you to get. What's going to happen is they're going to give you the whole message all at once. And so you're going to get the message and then all you have to do is accept the first thing that comes to your mind. That's very important.
Okay.
Don't question it. Don't analyze it. Don't doubt it. Just accept the first thing that comes into your mind because that's where their communication to you is going to be.
Right.
And then all you have to do is respond to it. What do you say next? You know, if they give you the impression, I'm doing fine, I just miss you, then if you get that impression, you say, I miss you too. You know, and then you're speaking in words because that's the way we think.
Right. You know,
when we're thinking. And so you say those words and then the first thing that comes into your mind after that, that's their communication. And so it happens so quickly. When they get the communication, when they send you the communication, it happens so quickly that you can miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just dismiss it. What that feeling is that you got,
thinking, it's just you, but
I just had this thought come into my mind, and it's not, it's them. And you get validations of that because if you start to do this and you get in the zone and you don't doubt it, you don't analyze it, you don't stop it, you just let it go as fast as it'll go, then after a while, the dialogue is going to become very natural. You're going to realize that you're communicating with them. And you're going to get all kind of messages that you would not have originated. You wouldn't have thought of saying that, or you wouldn't have thought of those impressions. You may get a song.
Mm-hmm.
You may get a feeling. The other thing that happens is because of the fact that they're responding to our thoughts,
yes,
not to words that we're saying, they will answer your question before you ask it. So you will get an answer or halfway through it when you're thinking the question, they're already giving you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready for that because of the fact that it happens very, very quickly.
Right.
So what you do is you accept it, and you can stop for a minute if you want to, and just let them continue to communicate or say anything they want. But it's better if you just keep the dialogue going. You say something, they respond. You say something, they respond. And just keep the dialogue going. It'll start off as a daydream, mm-hmm. but it'll very quickly start to merge into a communication. And the only reason you have to start with a daydream is because we have a tendency not to slow down and communicate.
Okay.
We have a tendency not to, if they're not in the room and they're not in the body, then we have a feeling that we're not communicating with anybody. And so we've got to get that out of our heads. And that means we have to start having this daydream in which we're just communicating with them as though they were in the body. And then once we get used to doing that, you can sit down any place. And you can be in a doctor's office waiting for, or you can be in a line in a store, just right. any place, and just start into the dialogue with them. And they will always respond. They're always only a thought away. Mm. So regardless of what they're doing on the other side, and we're not holding them back.
Right.
We're not holding them back by communicating. They want to communicate with us.
Yes.
And they will continue with their lives and what they're doing on the next plane of life. But they're only a thought away. They get our thoughts wherever they are.
Wow.
So when they get our thoughts from wherever they are, then they will communicate to us from there. They don't have to come down to the earth plane to do it.
Right.
They'll be able to communicate with us anywhere they are. So they will communicate, we can communicate with them anytime that we want, and they will communicate with us. What happens is that people very often will get a sense of presence after someone passes, in the first few weeks after they pass, in the first few months after they pass. They'll get this sense of presence, the feeling like they're there. And then after that, then they won't get the sense of presence as much. You know, a few months pass and it just doesn't feel like they're around. And the reason for that is if they're not getting a response, if the communication is not happening, then they can get to the point where they just feel like, well, you know, we'll be fine. I'll look forward to our reunion, but there's no sense in me sticking around and communicating because I can't get anything back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it happens after a few months, that they feel like the sense of presence isn't there.
Right.
If we communicate, then they will continue to communicate with us for the rest of our physical lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anytime we want to communicate with them, they will communicate with us.
Yeah.
So the first method of doing that is by just doing the daydream. Just start, sit down, relax, and start the dialogue and let the dialogue flow as quickly as it comes. You can't stop it. Don't slow it down. Just continue to go through it. And the second way is by using what's called inspired writing.
Oh, okay.
And inspired writing means you take sheets of paper, just printer paper, and you get maybe 10 or 15 sheets, and you have them in a stack. And you get a pen, and you hold the pen in your hand, and you just sit down, and you have the pen over top of the paper, and then now you relax, go through the relaxation as you did before, and now you start a dialogue, and just the way you did it in the daydream,
mm-hmm.
you start the dialogue and you scribble down what you're asking or what you're saying,
right.
and then scribble down the first things that come into your mind, first impressions you get. And they'll be in words this time more than in a complete message. And the reason is because you're writing and they'll communicate in words. So then you just scribble that down. Don't look at what you're writing. Don't try to make it legible. Don't read it while you're writing it. Just stay in the zone. Stay focused on them. Stay relaxed away from the physical realm. And then write as quickly as you can anything that you ask. Anything that the first impression that comes to your mind, the words that come, and they're going to come very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so you continue doing that and just scribbling across the page and go to the next line, scribble, scribble, scribble across the page. And then as you do that, then the same thing's going to happen that I had just explained. They're going to be asking the questions before you finish
right.
because they're getting your thoughts. So you scribble that down, just keep scribbling and scribbling. And it should not stop. It should continue to go. You know, should continue to go through the whole presentation, the whole time that you have with them. And if you do that, then after a while you're doing that, you're going to get into the zone.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get into this state of mind in which you communicate with them. And once you get into that state of mind, then you just scribble. You don't even need to worry about writing down words.
Right.
You're just going to scribble across the page. And after a while, you won't even need to scribble. It's just going to come to you.
Right.
And so those are two ways that people can use. And you can be very successful at it. You know, most people who do that are going to be able to communicate if they will just do it conscientiously. Don't doubt it. Don't analyze it. Don't stop it. Just keep it flowing and keep it going. And you will be successful in doing it using one of those methods.
Wow. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. I communicate with Kyle all the time. And today, I've been thinking a lot. The anniversary of his transition is July 1st. And I always, the first week in July, which also happens most years to be 4th of July weekend, have a celebration for him at my favorite spot, which is actually my favorite picture with him. He and I are at the lake, my favorite lake. And so I always said, but this year, July 1st falls on a Sunday. It's actually the week before 4th of July weekend, which is actually good. So I was like, on the 1st, on the date of his transition. So I'm thinking all these things I want to do differently or just want to add to the celebration. And so today I thought about balloons. He's 33 now. He was 29 when he transitioned, but he's 33 now. And so I want to get helium balloons, 33 balloons in his honor. So I'm thinking the color white. Now he immediately tells me yellow. And I'm like, but white, you know. I'm thinking, but now I've been having this debate with him all day, and we've settled. He and I both settled on gold.
Oh, that's good. Yes. That's good. So. Yeah. That's good.
And have this conversation with him or debate, because you can even still debate them while they're
in. That's right. You'll have a dialogue with them. Yeah, that's right. And they will scold you. I mean, they will tell you, you know, you really need to get to the doctor about that, you know, or
yes.
tell you what it is that you need to do.
Yes.
And these dialogues, as you say, all you have to do is just relax and go ahead and do the dialogue. I think that the word yellow came into your mind, but these words, it will either get words or impressions or songs, you know, or feelings. You get a feeling of very warm and love. We get to know what their sense of presence is.
Okay.
So we get a sense of presence. It's as real as seeing or hearing. So it's a real sense. Mm-hmm. And so when you get the sense of presence, like I just had the feeling like you're around them, then that's a real sense. You have to listen to that.
Yes.
And when you get the sense of presence, then they should just stop what they're doing or just have a little dialogue. It doesn't take very long to do it.
Right.
Just have speak back to them and talk to them about it. And in fact, what we know to be true is that when people have a sudden flood of grief, you know, as you do, you know, when you're grieving for somebody, that sudden flood of grief is very often because of the fact that they're present. In other words, they've come into your presence. You get the sense of presence, but you get it in your subconscious. You get it in subliminally. And so you get the sense of presence. And because you have the sense of presence and they're not there, then there's a flood of grief about the fact that they're not there. But it's because they're present that happens. And so very often when someone has a sudden flood of grief, it will be because their loved one is with them at that moment, at that time.
Yeah, and that's a good time to have a conversation.
Just stop and talk with them.
And
just let it flow. Let it flow easily and quickly. And don't slow it down for anything. Yes. You know, just let it go. And it will become easier and easier. This is something we have to practice. Because we were not taught as children how to communicate with people who are not living on the earth plane. You know, it just was not part of what we were taught.
Right.
And so we have to learn how to do that now. And part of that is learning how to relax, allow them to communicate, respond to them, receive these messages that are coming to us. And the messages that we get are profound messages. They're just wonderful messages. They're warm and loving. And if they're not, if they're negative for some reason, if it's kind of a scary thing, that is not from them. That's from too much pizza. That's from, you got indigestion.
Too many scary movies.
Too many scary movies. So it's not from them. It is, when it's from them, it is always loving. It is always warm and uplifting. And it can be that they say, I miss you, you know, or I know you miss me and I don't like to see you grieve. But then, It's a, like a, there is one author, I believe that the name of her book is Don't Kiss My Ashes. And she describes that she had one day, she would had the funeral urn, mm-hmm. you know, cremation urn, right. and she would kiss the urn. And then one day, as she was kissing the urn, she got suddenly this message that came into her head, don't kiss my ashes, I'm not there. And it's very clear, you know, you get these very clear messages from, and so he was scolding her and saying, you know, I'm not there, I'm not in that urn. You can talk to me anytime you want. All you have to do is just relax and do it. Yeah. So they're accessible to us. And in the same way then, we, any of our loved ones are accessible. Now, when we go into these self-guided afterlife connections, in other words, when you sit down and you have a connection like this, you're having a dialogue with a specific individual.
Right.
But in the self-guided afterlife connections, we teach people how to go into the connection and spend a considerable period of time. It could be a half hour, 45 minutes, in which they're warming down. They're actually going to a state of a mild state of self-hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And this method is online. It's free. Okay. And anybody can get online and learn how to do it. It's a training program. Okay. It's at selfguided.spiritualunderstanding.org.
Okay.
Selfguided.spiritualunderstanding.org. Okay. And anybody can get on it and learn how to do this. And what you do is you go into this state. It will take you half an hour or so to do it because it really is a deep state. And when they go into this state, then they go to a place of love in their mind, a place that they will become accustomed to going to. And every time they want to communicate, all they have to do is go to that place. And it'll make it easier to communicate because they go to the same place every time. So they go to a place of great beauty that is filled with love. And when they get to that place, then they walk through the door. It's just an opening, and they walk through the opening, and their loved one is there. But it could be anybody whom they love.
Right.
So maybe their pet, maybe their dog, maybe their cat. It could be their parakeet. It could be Uncle Joe. It could be Grandma. Anybody could be there, and the reason is because when you're in the dialogue, you're choosing who you want to communicate with.
Okay.
But when you're in this state, the self-guided afterlife communication state, they will decide who will come through.
Oh.
So you may want to communicate with Grandma, and instead of Grandma coming through, it's Uncle Joe, and you just had forgotten about Uncle Joe. You hadn't talked to him for years.
Right.
And he will come through, and then he will give you a message that he wants to give to you or a message to give to somebody else.
Okay.
And so then in that case, when you're doing self-guided afterlife communications, you may have anybody come through, anybody, any old friend who had passed, and just anybody might come through.
Mm.
There's another method I'll tell you about that. It's called a guided afterlife connection or repair and reattachment psychotherapy, and it's one that's done by counselors.
Okay.
Counselors have learned, a counselor in Washington State, she's a state licensed psychotherapist, had learned how she can help her clients sitting in her office communicate with and connect with their loved one for whom they're grieving, for whom they came in for therapy.
Right.
And it's 98% successful. People will come into the office and they'll be sobbing and grieving when they come in and just don't know what they're going to do next. And by the time they leave in one session, they will come out being joyful and happy and sure their loved one is okay. And they have a different feeling about life and about what's going to happen in the transition. And their whole lives have changed. And they, on a scale, there is a scale called the SUD scales.
Okay.
Units of disturbance, but the SUD scale, they come in and they rate their disturbance, their feeling of grief from on a scale of 1 to 10, and most of them will come in and they'll say it's a 10 or even a 10 plus, or they're really in a dramatic state of grief, really bad. And when they finish one session with the psychotherapist, then they rate their feelings as being a 1, 2, or 3. Yeah, it makes that much difference.
Because
they've had a real connection.
Yes.
They've had a real connection with their loved one who's on the other side. And in these connections, these are even more dramatic than the ones where we teach them how to do it themselves.
Right.
But in these connections, they're so dramatic that they will actually go, they'll go in while they're sitting in the psychotherapist's office, they close their eyes and when they're in this state, and they will meet with their loved one. They'll go on walks on the beach. They'll hold their hand. They'll stroke their hair. They'll hug them. They'll kiss them. And these are all sensations that they get during mm-hmm. the sessions, because they're real experiences. And so we know that people can have these kinds of experiences. And in these experiences, the person who comes through can be anybody who has a message for them. We had one experience in which a woman was in grief for her mother. And she went into this state of being, this state with the psychotherapist, and she wanted to connect with her mother. And she was very surprised to see that she had been adopted. She knew she had been adopted, but she had been adopted. Her birth mother came through. She was not expecting this at all. Her birth mother came through. And the woman had been grieving because she felt like she had been abandoned. You know, like, why did my birth mother give me up? And her birth mother said to her, you know, I've always been joined to you, just like we were when you were joined with the umbilical cord. I will never stop being joined to you. I love you. And it healed her feelings. But here it was unexpected. Her birth mother came through, whom she would never have thought of coming through in a session like that. So these are the kinds of things that happen in these sessions. These psychotherapists, there are over 100 of them trained now. They're all across the United States. They're in Canada, the United Kingdom, in New Zealand, in Australia. So they're all around. And if somebody wants to try to find one of these psychotherapists, they work on grief mm-hmm. as well as work on giving these connections. They should go to RochelleWright.com. Okay. And that's Rochelle and W-R-I-G-H-T Wright.com.
Okay.
And that's the psychotherapist who originated it. And she has a directory of all of the psychotherapists who can do this work. And I really recommend anybody who's in deep grief that you go to one of these psychotherapists.
Mm-hmm. And also, would you recommend that someone that's in deep grief to maybe connect with a evidential medium?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Evidential medium, meaning when anybody goes to a reading with a medium, the first thing that will happen, and this is because the medium wants it and the person on the other side wants it, the first thing that will happen is the medium will give evidence. Mm-hmm. And that means very specific things. The medium will say things like, well, when you were 4 years old, you had a little puppy. And the puppy ran away, but 4 days later, the puppy came back. And all these things that nobody could have found out.
Right.
You couldn't know this about the person, but it's evidential.
Yes.
These are facts the person needs. Every reading that someone has with a medium, the first thing that they should get is evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And evidence must be there. If it's not there, then walk out of the room.
Okay.
Because that is not going to be the medium for you. If they're saying things like, well, there's someone on the other side and they miss you and they wish these are general statements that, you know, it could be anybody. Or they will cold read, which means that they will pick up on something. So you say, yes, I'm really grieving for him, and they know right away it's a male.
It's a man, yes.
And they say, I remember from my childhood, and they know right away it's a father figure. And they will pick up on these things and then feed them back and say, I'm having a male coming through and it's a father figure. And I'm not sure what level, whether it's first. Oh, and then the person will say, oh, I bet it's my dad. She said, yes, your father's coming through.
Yes.
That's cold reading.
Yes.
And people who do cold readings are very good at that.
Mm.
And you just have to walk out of the room.
Okay.
You know, if that's all you're getting, what you'll get when you have a reading with a good medium, mm-hmm. then you will get a reading which starts off with evidence. It's evidential reading.
Yes.
And then all the way through it, you'll keep getting evidence. It's not just mm-hmm. at the beginning, but all the way through it, you'll get it.
Right.
And we have a list of
I was just about to, mm-hmm. I just about to ask that on the website. And please
on the website.
Yes, mm-hmm. please share.
Afterlifeinstitute.org. So mm-hmm. for the Afterlife Research and Education Institute.
Yes.
And at afterlifeinstitute.org, you'll see a series of questions on the first page. And one of them is, would you like to communicate with a loved one? And then you just click on that button and it shows you these methods that mm-hmm. I've just described. And it has lists. There are several lists that are being kept by people of certified mediums. These are mediums who have been demonstrated. I test mediums myself. Other people test them to make sure that they're legitimate. And when they're legitimate, then they'll go on one of these lists. But don't just go to somebody who's, you know, they've got a shingle out, they've got a sign out in front of their place saying afterlife readings, you know, and yes. you don't want to go to one of those unless they have been certified.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was very fortunate because I was inspired to launch this show 6 months after Kyle's transition. And I knew as soon as Kyle transitioned, I knew he wasn't gone. I was reading Your Soul's Plan, Your Soul's Gift, his last month here in the earth plane. And I knew that he wasn't gone. I knew that he would still always be with me. And I knew I wanted a reading, but I didn't want to go looking for a medium. And so I was inspired to launch this show. And someone recommended Susan Giesman to be a guest on my show. And so after I had her as a guest, I was like,
that's real mediumship.
That's the medium I want to have a reading with.
So yeah, right,
that's
right.
I was really very fortunate that.
Yeah, she's very talented. Suzanne Giesman is talented. Suzanne Wilson is also talented, very talented. Exactly. And there are many good research mediums, people who have worked with the researchers at the Woodbridge Institute, for instance, or have worked with Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona, or Forever Family Foundation has a very good certified mediums. Bob Olson.
Oh, okay,
Bob Olson has list of certified mediums. So there are some really good lists of certified mediums, and I know a lot of them, and I can vouch for them. I can say that, yes, these lists are good because the people on them I know, and they're good.
Yes.
So the first thing to do is to get to a certified medium, to get to somebody who's on one of these lists who's already been tested. And once you get if you go into another medium for some reason, if you have an opportunity to go to one and for $5 or something that you can just walk in, if they don't come up with the factual evidence at the beginning of the reading, because the person on the other side wants to do that, and the medium should want to do that. If they don't come up with that kind of evidence, then they're just not legitimate. They're doing cold readings.
Yes, very true. Now, please tell us more. Tell our listeners more about the Afterlife Research and Education Institute. Tell us more about that.
We formed the Afterlife Research and Education Institute about 2.5 years ago. And the reason we formed, and when I say we, it's Victor and Wendy Zamets and Suzanne Wilson and me.
Yes.
And the reason we formed the Institute was because we realized that there are things that are breaking open now. People are discovering things about the afterlife, about afterlife communication, and the veil between our worlds is falling. And we know that that's true. And so, but the people who are doing it individually. There are people who are researchers who are out there and working in their dining rooms. Doing this work and a few researchers who are doing it while they're at work, you know, in the universities.
Right.
And so we know that they're out there, they're doing that work, they're doing this research and they're finding out things, but they have no resources. They don't have help in doing it. They're doing it on their own financing.
Right.
They're doing it without any help to disseminate it, to get it out to people. And so what we wanted to do was form the Afterlife Research and Education Institute to help them.
Okay.
So our mission is to help them in the work that they're doing. And now we have a network of people that we're working with in all areas of afterlife communication, afterlife studies, end of this life activities, and the new spirituality. And so we're working with them, we're networking with them, we're trying to get funding to them, and we're trying to disseminate what they're doing. We're helping people to understand it, and we're spreading the word about things like the psychotherapy method, because Rochelle Wright is one of the people that we work with. And Sonia Rinaldi, who is a researcher from Brazil, who's doing instrumental transcommunication, she's recording voices from people on the other side, and then giving them to, for instance, parents. For the children who are on the other side.
Yes.
And Sonia is doing this on her own. She's paying for it all herself.
Wow.
because there's no funding for it. Yeah. No, we send nearly $500 billion on defense.
Oh, God.
We get a few thousand dollars to tell people to understand the afterlife.
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the resources to them. That's our role. And also to do the teaching ourselves.
Yes. So
when we have a chance, we'll do the teaching. You know, we'll go out and help people to understand it. And it's exciting. It's a real ministry. It's a real calling we have. And so we do it at every opportunity we can get.
Wow, that is so true when you say it's a calling. Like I said, Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night and said, just do it. Start an internet radio show. I didn't even know what the word podcast was at that time. Mm-hmm. And I just got up in the middle of the night and Googled, okay, how do I start an internet radio show? And I know that was all Spirit. It's like you said, a calling. It's just, and I just, you know, just with this show, I'm so glad for the internet because it can reach so many people, from the comfort of my home office. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the conjecture now is that within 6 to 8 years, 70% of the people on Earth will have access to the internet.
Yes.
And that's 5.2 billion people. And that means that we can, and you can, through the podcast, through what you're doing, and we can, in our efforts on the internet, we can reach 5.2 billion people.
Yes.
What a difference that'll make for humankind. When people know this to be true, when they realize that we are one with each other, that we are more than brothers and sisters, we're not separate, that we're one with each other. And when people realize that, and they stop the nonsense, the terrible cruelty that goes on, then the world will be a changed place.
So true.
And that will happen. And they're saying within 6 to 8 years, that number of people will be exposed to the internet.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it was science that woke me up to the oneness. It was what the bleep, the quantum.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
sure.
That's what I'm like. And once I got it, not just on an intellectual level, but on a heart level, when I got it and understood, yes, separation is an illusion. It's we are truly connected. And when I got it, everything made sense to me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it's media like that, the What the Bleep, you know, which is a wonderful, wonderful DVD.
Yes.
Media like that are changing people's lives.
Yes.
And once a person's life has changed, once they've gone that direction, they realize what the truth is, they can't go back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like looking at
covers.
Yeah, you just can't go back.
Yeah, once you pull the covers off,
that's
you can't go back.
You can't go back. And so what that means is that everybody that has changed is one more advancement in humanity's growth.
Yes.
Because they're not going to go back. They're just one more added to the growth of humanity.
But here also, I love Rumi's quote, "You're not a drop in the ocean. You're an ocean in the drop." Because God, the universe source is holographic, meaning all of what God is, all of God is in you. Mm-hmm. All of God is in me. So each time a person awakens, it's the ripple effect. Yeah. It touches everyone else on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all that connected.
Humanity grows with every person who understands this, every person who has what's called a metanoia. That's a Greek word. Metanoia means a change of heart, a change of attitude. And in the metanoia means that if a person has changed their heart or changed their attitude, then they are changed people and they treat other people differently. They look at themselves differently. They look at life differently. And so that it touches everything about them. They are a changed person.
Yes.
And that's the goal. The goal is to change everybody, change all of humanity.
Yes.
And that's happening. It will happen.
It is happening. Mm-hmm. I even see it in mainstream media. When I see, a Newsweek special edition cover with someone meditating in mindfulness on the cover. Mm-hmm. That's Newsweek. I'm like, yes, we are waking up, and I see it. And I know I see it because I'm looking for the signs of the awakening. So we see what we look for.
Yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and people are changing. And as you say, the media are showing that. We see many more movies now about these kinds of changes and spiritual, the new spirituality. a new understanding of the fact that we are one with source, that we are one with each other. Yes. And you see that more and more in movies. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is if they make a movie about it and people go to see it, that means that people do understand it. Yes. You know, if they didn't believe it, they wouldn't go to see it. They would say that's hogwash. But yes. They do go to see it, and they're inspired by it, and they're touched by it. And it's because of the fact that underlying our attitudes of people in general, people are becoming knowledgeable. They're becoming enlightened. They're waking up to this reality. So there is a point that we will reach a flashpoint.
Yes.
Meaning that, you know, that all of a sudden, because there's a critical mass, there's enough of an understanding that suddenly everything's going to break open.
Yes.
And then it will become mainstream. And when it's mainstream, then wow, what a difference it'll make in the world.
Oh, yeah. Does I call it the 100th monkey effect?
Yeah, that's it. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the same thing.
Yes.
So what we want to do, what we're doing in the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, is just trying to do whatever we can to help that along.
Yes.
Whatever needs to be done, because some of these people are working all by themselves on these efforts, and you don't hear about them. You're not going to hear them in the mainstream media about their efforts and what they're doing, and they're not getting Nobel prizes,
right?
They should be.
Yes.
And so they're out there working all by themselves, tirelessly, trying to make advancements, trying to help people. They have the same feeling about the ministry that we do.
Yes.
And they are out there doing the work. And what we're trying to do is get resources to them. We're going through a fundraising effort this year.
Yes.
And we're going to get the funds, and the funds then are going to go directly to these researchers and developers and people who are doing this work. And we're going to try to really bolster what they're doing. That's the effort for this year.
Wow, very good. You know, I didn't realize that the Afterlife research education was so young. Mm-hmm. You said 2.5 years, because I know that, well, this will be the second or the third, this coming September.
Second.
The second symposium. Oh, okay.
Second symposium.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I will be at the second.
This is going to be wonderful. It's going to be exciting. We're having people, wonderful people who are going to be there. Suzanne Wilson is going to be there, and Victor and Wendy Zammit, and Mark Anthony, who is the psychic lawyer, is going to be there. And we have Sonia Rinaldi's coming up from Brazil. She's going to be actually demonstrating the recordings done. Yeah, of people. And so she'll be playing the recordings and showing people how they're done. Sherry Pearl, who is doing this work now and training other people. She's training everybody, just everyday people, how to record the voices of loved ones on the other side. She does it especially for parents who have children on the other side.
Yes.
And so then she records the voices and she gives them the recordings. Mm-hmm. Exciting work. So she's going to be there. Then we have physical mediums. That's a special form of mediumship.
Okay.
Physical mediums there, two well-known physical mediums. And in physical mediums, these are the people who will sit in a room with a group of sitters who are sitting around them. And there will be things happen in the room. People will materialize from the other side. That actually happens in the room. And and all of these things, right? All of these things will be happening. And so we're going to have them come, because we're trying to support them as well.
Yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited. Oh, it's so exciting. I get to join in this year. But for some reason, I thought the Afterlife Research Education was around longer than 2 years, 2.5 years. So I'm happy to be a part. So a part of this groundbreaking institute that is doing amazing work. And like you said, it is so needed. And we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
So happy.
Yeah. So we are helping any way that we can. And anybody can become involved in the research, because it's so young.
Yes.
Everybody's valuable.
Yes.
And so we're teaching people how to do, for instance, the voice capture, the voice recordings. We're teaching people how to do it, because the pioneering work in that area is coming out of just people who learn how to do it, and then them themselves learn things about it. They advance. So anybody can learn how to do that. Anybody can have that effect.
Wow.
Yeah. So we encourage anybody who wants to become involved in it.
Yes. So please, mm-hmm. please share the website again. I'll have it in the link, but please share.
It is the afterlifeinstitute.org. So it's afterlifeinstitute.org. And the symposium is afterlifesymposium.org.
Okay.
And they can get on and look at them and see the speakers who are going to be there and what we're going to be doing. And we're going to have two banquets. We're going to have one on Friday night and one on Saturday night. And we're going to have George Noory from Coast to Coast AM is going to be there on Saturday night. He's going to be seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Friday night we have two people who communicate with how, teach people how to communicate with their angels, to communicate with their guides.
Okay.
And they're going to be there at the first banquet Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be an exciting time.
Oh, I'm so looking forward. And then share the dates because it's September.
September 13th is workshops.
Okay.
And the actual symposium is 14th through the 16th.
Okay.
And then we have 16th on the 16th, we have workshops again. So we have workshops at the beginning, workshops at the end. Anybody can go to the workshops that they want.
Okay. I think I'm flying in on the 12th because I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, right. There's so much going on. Yes, it's going to be fun.
And Phoenix, it's actually Scottsdale. Well, Scottsdale, Phoenix, but you fly into Phoenix.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's a suburb of Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And it's a DoubleTree Hotel, beautiful hotel, wonderful hotel.
Oh wow!
And we have special rates on the rooms, you know, and we keep the fee for the registration down.
Yes,
they're not exorbitant, and so we want to have people come. Yes. All we have to do is pay the bills, you know, pay for the hotel.
Right.
That's our focus. But yes. Once we do that, then we, you know, we just we are encouraging everybody to come. It's a love fest.
Yes.
It's a whole different atmosphere at the symposiums. People are just, you know, walking through the halls, and it's just warmly greeting each other and spending time talking with each other. It's just a wonderful atmosphere.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so excited because I got a taste of that wonderful experience with the Helping Parents Heal. This is their first conference. This is the second symposium. It's just because, like you said, when you are awakened yourself, like you awake, I woke up. When you get that awake, it's like everything you do, you want to just inspire. I say inspire others to come to that awakening. Because the sooner we are all awakened to this truth, there won't be any war. You know, when you know, okay, I'm hurting this person, and hurting this person is just hurting myself.
Yeah.
When you know that, there won't be any war.
No, there won't be any wars.
There won't be any war. There won't be any crime. There won't be any poverty. Yeah. Everybody will be living life abundantly.
That's the way it happened. That's the way it happened. Yeah, but we don't have to wait for heaven. We don't have to wait for that next realm. That
Next realm.
This can be heaven.
Exactly. There will be heaven right here on Earth.
Right here on Earth, yeah. So all we have to do is, we are part of it.
Yes.
You know, and we just have to help other people to learn to be part of it. And it's not like proselytizing where you're teaching them, other people, about a set of doctrines or a religion. Because all you have to do is to share what it is that we know with people. And immediately they will get the idea. Well, I shouldn't say immediately.
Yeah.
They will get the idea.
I'm understanding what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get the question all the time. What is oneness? A new religion?
No,
not a religion, because oneness encompasses everything. So all religion, there's nothing excluded from oneness.
Right.
So it's true. Yes. So I just got that question the other day.
Or which religion is the right religion, they'll say. You know, somebody will ask that question, the only thing that is right is whatever brings joy and peace and love to humankind. So just evaluate everything that you do, evaluate every religion, every government, every individual, every business, just by saying that. Do they spread love, joy, and peace?
Yes.
You know, or do they keep people from having love, joy, and peace
exactly.
as one?
As one, yes.
As one, right. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and then you can evaluate anything using that. And then, yes. So we are promulgating, we are trying to get the word out, disseminating the information about people who are doing this work, who are helping the humankind to live together in love, joy, and peace.
Yes.
And so we will help anybody who is learning about that, who's trying to educate other people about it. And we do everything that we can to help them.
Yes. And also understanding the fact that we are not our body. You know, the body is I think of the body as a car. As a matter of fact, I just got a new vehicle, a white one, and I've had cars ever. I'm not crazy about that. I'm getting used to having a white car because I've never had a white car before. So to me, the color of my skin is no different than the vehicle I'm driving. I happen to choose a brown color vehicle this time, you know? That's all I think of my body.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Around in this reality.
That's what it is, right.
But when I'm ready to leave it and go back to spirit where I came from, you know, and then maybe decide to come back and pick another color vehicle, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's entirely true. And we shouldn't get too attached to these bodies, you know, or take them too seriously.
Exactly.
You know, the idea of at the end of during the transition period, the end of this life, we should be able to go to the end of this life very comfortably and transition into the next life.
Yes.
This idea of being of allowing the end of life activities to be taken over by the medical professions, so that the people, it's taken over by the hospitals, you know, it's taken over by the doctors. And we are not able to just make the transition at home with our loved ones and peacefully go. That has only happened in the 20th century, at the end of the 20th century. Prior to that, people would pass quietly when it was time at their homes. They would actually take charge.
Right.
So the person who was about to pass, if they were lucid, then they would say, oh, it's time, gather everybody around. And, and they would say, Uncle Jim, I want you to have this. And they would communicate with people about it. And they would take charge of it. And then when it was time, they would just peacefully pass. But the fact that it's now been taken over by the hospitals and at the end of life, for a person who has that kind of a transition, or they transition from old age or from disease over a period of time, there is no reason to have certain things that, like the greatest amount of expense for Medicare is in the last 6 months of life. Mm. Because of the fact that there's tremendous amount of money going into these huge machines to keep the body alive.
Yeah.
Just to keep the body alive for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
they just delay the transition, and it's a seamless transition. It's just like going from being from childhood into adolescence,
right?
From adolescence into a young adulthood, or from young adulthood into mature adulthood, and it's just another transition. So when we pass out of this body, then we know what it's like on the next plane of life. We know that we have our own bodies on a different vibration.
Right.
And we live in houses and we have our occupations and we have our leisurely activities and we go to concerts, we go to plays and whatever it is that we want to do, we can do it there. So the transition is going into just another stage of life. It's going to be a wonderful stage of life.
Yes. Yes, it is. And what you just said reminded me of my mom's transition. My mom was in hospice, and the last thing my mom said, and this is a few days before she actually transitioned, because the last few days of her life, she wasn't able to speak. But the last thing she had said was, she wants to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, I was like, I wasn't sure, because there was three possible. She could have met heaven. She could have met that, or she could have met my house where I had been taking care of her the last 4 years of her life. But before she lived with me, we still had her home where my children, my son and my daughter were living in her home at that time. And I know she didn't want, you know, she got to the point where she couldn't take care of herself, so she had to come live with me. But she never wanted to leave her home. So when she said, I just want to go home. I'm like, does she want to come back to my house? Mm-hmm. Does she mean mm-hmm. she's ready to go to heaven, or she's yeah. ready to go home? But not, yeah. And internally, I felt she wants to go to her home.
Yeah.
She wanted to go to her home. And I was actually trying to arrange for that, because we could have had hospice at her house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hospice. So I was actually, you know, a day or so before she transitioned, I was trying to arrange to get her moved back to her house.
Yeah.
I felt that's where she wanted to be. That's uh-huh. where she wanted to be the transition from. But mm-hmm. I just, you know, I put the pieces together too late, and there wasn't enough time.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah. I think she wanted to just be in her house.
Yeah, and that's why people should pass. I mean, yeah. the people should just go back to the tradition.
Yes.
And the tradition was where you'd have your family around you. If they passed in a long, slow process, you'd have your family around you. They would just be with you when it was time to transition. And then they would share the experiences with you. And it's an uplifting experience to be with someone when they're transitioning. Yeah. And we don't experience that. We don't enjoy that. The family doesn't grow because of that. Because of the fact that we have people in an institution, you know, in some big building someplace, not at home. Yeah. But we can experience the things, like, for instance, when people are ready to pass, when they're getting ready to pass in the few days or weeks before that, then they will begin to have dreams about people who, their loved ones who have preceded them,
right,
who are already on the other side.
Right.
So they'll have dreams about them, but then they'll actually see them in the room. Mm-hmm. They'll see them in the room where they're lying, and especially for some reason up in a corner.
Right.
They will see them, and they'll actually begin to talk to them because they've come, and what they're doing is they're preparing the person for the transition. And then, especially in if they're lucid in the last few hours before they're passing, then they will very often get very strong visions of a person who's actually there standing at the foot of the bed. It's their loved one whom they're anxious to have a reunion with, and they've come to get them. They've come to help them with the transition. And that's very, very common now. And we don't experience that. You know, if we don't experience the joy that they feel when they're about to transition. You know what Steve Jobs' last words were when he was about to transition, and he just looked up, and it was obvious he was looking someplace else, and he said, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow," because he was seeing into the next round.
Wow! Yeah.
And
that's so cool.
Yeah, you just can't experience those things when somebody's in an institution. So
yeah,
the family misses something.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. That's so true. And Kyle, my son, has already told me, he's not saying rush to get to the other side, but he's already told me he's going to be there to greet me. Mm-hmm. And he wants to give me a tour. So
Yeah, that's good. Okay. That's good. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and reminiscing,
yes.
And then talking about what was going on, you know, the things that were happening in your life, the things that seem so important to us now that are going to seem so trivial to us when we look back on them. When we transitioned over, it's like we if you're away from the earth, the earth is actually 10 times smoother than a billiard ball.
Mm.
It's that smooth. So when you're away from the earth, you look down on the planet and it's smooth and it's very, very jewel like because it's blue.
Yes.
When you get onto the planet and you're standing at the foot of a mountain, the mountains are huge. They're just monstrous. Or you're standing in the waves and then the waves are knocking you over. And so that when we're on the earth plane, when we're at that level on the earth plane, then we get jostled and we get pushed and prodded and we have pain and we have all of these things happen to us, and they seem so monumental at the time. But if we just could look back, if we could look outside, look from the earth, from the moon at the earth, and we would see that all of those things are just temporary.
Yes.
You know, those little things that are bothering us, because just as the earth is smoother than a billiard ball, then our lives, when we look back on them, we'll see we're just really smooth. We had individual incidents, things happened, tragedies happened, things that upset us happened, but they were not consequential. They were not important.
Right.
And we just had to continue keeping our eye on what it is that is really true about life, who we really are. And if we keep our eyes on who we really are, then we can feel peace, love, and joy.
Exactly. That is so true. That is so true. To live life in each now moment from the bigger perspective that you just described.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And life is wonderful. You know, and the Buddha said that, and that the first of the great truths is that life can be suffering, can be in the sense that we make it suffering. We are the ones who do that. We make it suffering, and we make others suffer. Mm-hmm. Most of the things that we call suffering are what people do to people. Mm-hmm. Human beings do to human beings. Pain is painful. Pain hurts. But that's not what we, when we say suffering, we're talking about people having tragedies, what we call tragedies, or people doing things to other people, cruelties. And all those things are not necessary. We wouldn't have to have those on the earth plane.
That's so true.
Yeah, if human beings were different with each other.
Very, very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Thank you. This has been such an amazing hour. Thank you so much, Dr. Craig. I know you said stop calling you doctor, but you know, it's just, you know what? It's my upbringing.
Yeah,
my upbringing is like, you got to give people respect, and you're a doctor, you got to call them doctor.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
Doctor, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I look so forward to seeing you again in September.
Yeah, we'll see you in September.
Yes. Oh. That's a song.
Yeah.
See you in September. Much love.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.